Good to see everyone here again this morning. Wish you God's blessings. That's a joy to be together again, isn't it? It's a privilege. Who'd want to be out on a golf course or out hunting or out just sleeping in bed when you could be together and have good fellowship and listen to the Lord? It's a privilege. Okay, can we just kneel together to pray before we start? Great God, our Father, we kneel before you. We have made our decisions to serve you, to put away the idolatry of our hearts, to put away our own things that we naturally would go after. And we're here again this morning. We're here to open the Word of God. We're here to lift up our voices and sing. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence that we have already sensed in our midst. And God, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, would you please, as we're here together, would you please continue to open, help our hearts to be open, and teach us, direct us, inspire us, help us to understand the ways of God. Help us to understand how you would have us to walk. Help, Lord, that our commitments would go deeper and our walk would become more rich, and we could become more effective in the places where we live and the people we associate with, that there would be a testimony that would go forth of righteousness, of purity, of holiness. God, I just ask in Jesus' name, would you please give me clear thoughts and the ability to communicate what you've given to me? We ask, Father, that our hearts could be drawn heavenward in this next hour. Feed us this fresh manna. Take these couple loaves and fishes and multiply them to our hearts. Would you please take these words way beyond what I'm even going to share and please apply them to the very needs of all of us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to call it difficult forgiveness. I'd like to speak about forgiveness this morning, and I'm going to put that little word in front of it because of how it many times works itself out. Forgiveness in a brotherhood, I'm going to say, is one of the hardest kinds of forgiveness. And Or family life, either family life or in a brotherhood, is one of the most hardest things that we face. And I say that because if there's someone, if a neighbor down the street who we don't know very well does something to us, and we're not very close to him, and he's not a brother in church, and he's not a relative, he does something to us and it bugs us a bit, but normally it's not very difficult to just let it go. Just forgive him and say, well, he doesn't know any better, or he's not a Christian, or he's not a brother. And it's fairly easy to just sort of let go in those kind of situations, isn't it? Right? What I find for myself is some of the most difficult things that come our way is when there's friendships, or those people that are real close to us, where we have expectations, right? There's people who they know better. They're Christians. They profess to walk with God. They profess to be full of the Spirit. They profess to be a brother. They profess something that we also profess. And it's with those kind of situations, when we face those, that it becomes very difficult to forgive and let go of situations. And I will say that in bygone years here, it's something that I faced, we faced in our home, and I know in the church, we faced it too, haven't we? And I don't sit here with any kind of knowledge that there's people who are struggling with this here this morning. I don't. But I'm here to share this because it's a very real thing that we go through and it comes up continually. It's not something that we face one time in our life and then it's sort of over. But it's a kind of thing that seems like continually these things come up and we face them. Then the question is, how are we going to respond, forgive? How do we forgive? Because the interesting thing is, unforgiveness is a sly one. Many times when we have unforgiveness in our own hearts, we don't see it for quite some time. It's something that we realize, oh, I struggle with this, and we try to lay it down, but sometimes others look on and say, oh, there's something wrong. Hey, you have unforgiveness there. I've had that happen already, where a brother was kind enough to say, hey, you have some unforgiveness there. And I say that because I think it's good for us to just be aware. There's some kind of a blindness that is often present when we have this unforgiveness in our heart. There's a bit of a blindness. There's a bit of, we don't really connect. We know that we're struggling with a situation, but we don't realize we have unforgiveness. So turn with me for an opening scripture to Matthew chapter 6. I'd like to start there. Matthew chapter 6. We'll just start reading here maybe in verse 9 with the Lord's Prayer. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. It's in this Lord's Prayer, which it says, after this manner. It doesn't say that we should just be reading this all the time or just reciting this all the time. I think it's a very right thing to use the Lord's Prayer in our prayer. I think that's a very right thing. But he says, after this manner, or these are the things that our prayers ought to be consist of. This is the type of prayers that we ought to pray. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Did you hear that? Forgive us our debts as we forgive others, or our debtors, those that do things to us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Then he comes back to this little phrase, this thing about forgiveness. He comes back to it and he reiterates it a bit. He says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, then neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's pretty simple, isn't it? He just simply says that if we don't forgive others, God's not going to forgive us. And this is the only thing that right after the Lord's Prayer, he He just brings right up and says, hey, you know, this, he throws it in as sort of a big thing. The wounds of a friend normally go the deepest. The wounds of those that are close to us. And I'll also mention these, whether it's in the family relations and there's immoral things that happen between parents and children sometimes, those wounds go extremely deep. Wounds between when a father gets angry with his wife, when a mother gets angry with her children, when there's anger in the home, those things go very, very deep in the heart. And those are the kind of things that children often struggle with. They struggle to forgive their parents when there's those kind of things happen in the home. Wounds from close friends or family or brothers in the church go very, very deep in the heart. I've sat with many over the years who sat there and they've cried and they've cried and they cried because of what they perceive someone has done to them. Sometimes, or let's put it this way, many times it's not even deliberate. Do you follow what I mean? Many times it's not even things that people deliberately did to egg someone. Sometimes it is. Sometimes, like I said, there's anger, and if it's not dealt with, I would put that into the deliberate side of things or immoral things. But then there's those kind of things that happen in a family, even between couples, husband and wife, or in extended family relations or in the church. Expectations that we have that are dashed to pieces, and we can't understand why someone did what they did. And the other person sits there and is totally oblivious to what happened. Right? It's often that way. The other person is there and they don't comprehend. In fact, when you sit down and even talk about it, they're sort of, oh yeah, I can understand why that was hurtful. Do you follow? And there's sort of an understanding, but some of those things come without any intentional, a malicious act at all. And those things go very, very deep in the heart for various reasons. Sometimes we feel betrayed. Sometimes we feel like someone went around our back to someone else, and it's like they stabbed us in the back with some kind of remark. Sometimes we feel like they just simply turned against me. They're oblivious to it. Sometimes we thought we should have been included in some kind of an activity, and we feel left out. We feel like they don't care about me. All they care about is their other friends, and we feel, you know, we feel this, you know, there's just, you know, we struggle with these things, right? You know, am I connecting? These are things that we face. And often the other party, I'm going to say, in the majority of situations, the other party is oblivious or is not aware of the things that happened. And then we sit here and we struggle. We sit here and we go through this turmoil of saying, why did they do this to me? And yet, in their hearts, it's not even a sin. Maybe they could have done better. Maybe they could have made changes that would have made it easier for me. But it's not even a sin on the other person's part. But these things, because of the expectation that we have. Do you follow? It's often because there's an extent of expectation that we carry to someone else of how they should treat us and how they should respond to us. And if that expectation isn't met, then we struggle with it. We feel like others should treat us better than they do. Sometimes we read some actions and some things that are done by someone, and we assume things. And if we know all the facts, there is really nothing to it. But these things, you know, these things are real. We struggle with them. I do sometimes, don't you? I hear someone say something, and I really don't understand what they really mean. And so I try to read in what was really going on there. Right? I do that. But I don't know all the facts. And then it just sort of irks me, and there's this struggle that goes on in my heart. And it's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult. Sometimes we draw back from situations. Sometimes something, you know, some kind of remark is made, and we just simply draw back because we don't know what it meant. And then the other person feels like we're rejecting them. There's all kinds of things like that happen. Sometimes unkind remarks are made without realizing the extent of it. Sometimes we just simply feel misunderstood. And you know the things that you really struggle with, right? For all of us here this morning, it's usually very different. But there is expectations that aren't met. And the higher percent of times, things are done without realization of what it's really doing on the other side. And here we are, and we struggle with this thing for days on end. We pray to God, and we say, God, I want to forgive them. Lord, I want to forgive them, right? And we do that because we're goodwill people. We want to serve God, and the Bible says forgive. So we do that. And yet, many times, these are things that just keep on, coming up from time to time. And we ask the question, how do we handle that? Because I know that there's no one here this morning that wants to live in unforgiveness. There's no one here that wants to live in unforgiveness. In fact, we also know that Scripture says that if we don't deal with this unforgiveness, it'll turn into bitterness. You know what bitterness is? Bitterness is when we've sat in that unforgiveness for an extended period of time, we just become sour. We become bitter. There's this bitter thing in our heart. And it affects many other areas of our lives. And in fact, turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll just take a quick look at that. Hebrews chapter 12. It says in verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. He specifically says, seek peace with all men. If you're not at peace with someone, seek peace. Because if there's not peace there, there's likely some unforgiveness or some unsettled issues that can develop into a root of bitterness. And when that bitterness is in the heart, it's defiling. I have seen quite a number of situations where that thing of peace, seeking peace, wasn't pursued early enough, and it sat there and it sat there. And then it came to the place where there's this bitterness really sank down in there. And then what would happen is What's in the heart comes out, right? What's in the heart always comes up out of there. And so we're in conversations with people and we make these little remarks about this person, right? We make these little snide remarks. We wouldn't just lay them in the dirt, but we make these little remarks, these questionable things, and then that person goes home and says, I didn't know that that person has that issue. I didn't know that this person has these problems. And this person keeps on doing that. You do that a while, and all of a sudden, there can be a whole bunch of people that have been defiled, and there's actually these bad attitudes are springing up within the church against another person. God forbid. Now, let me just read that again. This is how it happens. This is how it happens. Verse 15, looking diligently. Actually, let me just back up to verse 14. Follow peace with all men. Or seek peace. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Okay? That's what happens with bitterness, is others get defiled too. It develops into horrible things as time goes on, and it remains unsettled. So, I'd like to encourage all of us here this morning to have an openness, because normally, if other people sense bad attitudes within us or unforgiveness and they say something about it, our first response is normally, I've forgiven him. That's our normal come off, because we think we've dealt with it. We know how many times we've knelt there and we've prayed and say, God, help me to forgive this person, right? We know how many times, and that person doesn't know that. Now, the blessing is we have brothers that sense our attitudes and they're able to say, oh, there's something wrong here. Then maybe our brother will just bring this to our attention and say, there's something not quite right there. And if that happens, you know what I've discovered? I've discovered that when brothers come with a concern, whatever it might be, whether it's unforgiveness or whatever it might be, we think when the concern comes, we think, oh, he doesn't know all the facts. Normally, he doesn't know all the facts. And normally what is brought, there might only be a portion of what he says is really accurate. But that portion that's accurate, we'd better take heed to it. If we throw that out the back door, we're not wise. In fact, we're not opening ourselves to the brotherhood. And as time goes on, if we're not open to the brotherhood, more continued issues will come our way. Here is some symptoms that I'm going to throw out there of unforgiveness. And I'd like to just put this thing up here again. Normally, if there's unforgiveness, we're slow in realizing that we have it. So we need to be sensitive about that. Normally, when we have unforgiveness, we don't connect with it as quickly as others do. Here's some symptoms. When we come into this person's presence, we're uncomfortable. Right? If the issue isn't resolved in our own heart, we're uncomfortable. We don't know how to act. We're uncomfortable in this person's presence. That's a symptom of unforgiveness. Another one is that we try to avoid the person. Okay? If it's in church, this person starts walking down the center aisle, and we quickly sort of turn around and go out the side and avoid them, right? And you know what I'm talking about? If there's unresolved issues, unforgiveness in our hearts, You know, and we try to do it sort of in a way that no one sees. You know, we don't want them to see. We just, you know, we see them come and we just, we don't look at them. We just sort of, you know, just avoid them a little bit and you know, walk out the side. Because we don't want to shake their hand. You know, if we have to, we'll shake their hand. If we have to, we'll greet them. But we try to avoid them. We try to avoid eye contact. Because there's something wrong, right? These are little symptoms of unforgiveness in our hearts. Hebrews says, seek peace with all men. If that's happening, you go seek peace. You know, have that issue resolved. If that issue is unresolved, that issue is unresolved, it will grow into a root of bitterness that many others will also be defiled. Here's another one. Our joy is gone. We used to be able to just sing and worship the Lord. We used to be able to just pray. And now when we go to pray, this person almost always comes to our mind. It's just there. Right? Those are little symptoms. Those are symptoms that there's something wrong. And it ought to be coming to our minds, right? And we ought to be dealing with it. But those are little symptoms that not everything is okay. I'd like for you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. And we want to look at some of these verses. Matthew chapter 18. This is not something that just us are, it's not just us that are dealing with this now. This has been this way for a long time. That people struggle to forgive others. In fact, Peter, you know how outspoken Peter is? This is what Peter said. Matthew chapter 18. Verse 21, he says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times? You know, obviously he had someone. I don't know who this was. It doesn't say. But Peter came and said, if my brother, you know, I don't know, was it one of the disciples? Very likely it was one of the disciples that was sort of, you know, irking him. Very likely was one of the disciples because he was one of the, you know, they were the ones that were close together. And he said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore, now he gives a story. And stories tend to be some of the most powerful ways for us to understand things, right? Stories. So Jesus gives this story, and it's a real story. It's not just a parable. He says, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king. So he didn't say this is a parable. This is something that actually happened. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which took account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. And if you look a little bit about how much money that is, that's about $9.25 million. Imagine that. And this king went to this servant and he said, servant, I want you to pay me my $9.25 million. Now, I've decided, for the sake of making a little point here, I want to show you how he did. Brandon, you want to come up here? Hmm. Okay. It says here, you can just sit down there. Let me read here. It says, when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents, which is about $9.25 million. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. Therefore that servant fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'm going to pay you all. He said, have patience with me, and I'm going to pay you all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave the debt. The same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, which is $15. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servants fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now, this first king, he went and he said, pay me what you owe, that $9.25 million. Okay. Pay me what you owe. I need that money now.
Sorry, I was going to pay you, but I didn't. I just couldn't get around to it. I'll get to it as soon as I can.
I'm going to, if you don't pay now, I'm going to sell your wife and your children, and I'm going to cast you into jail.
Have mercy on me. I'll get you as soon as I can. I'm working as hard as I can. I'm going to pay you. Just give me a little bit.
Okay, so, well, you know what? I know, you'll just need some space. Actually, you know what? I'll just forgive you.
Wow, thank you. I'll
just get rid of it all. I mean, you don't owe me anything, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I'm serious. I'll just gift it all to you. I'll just let go of you. I mean, you know, that $9.25 million, I'll just give it to you.
Wow. Oh, thank you.
I'll just let go of you. You know, you don't owe me a dollar.
Wow, I really appreciate it.
Okay, sure. Okay. Okay, get the picture? All right. What was happening here, I forgave him $9.25 million. All right. Hey, Kenner, you come on up here. Now, guess what? Guess what happens now? Guess what happens now?
Hey, man, hey, brother. You owe me $15. I need it right now. Oh, just hang on a little bit. I'm kind of running short on money.
No,
I'll get it as soon as I can.
I need $15. If you don't get it to me right now, I'm gonna sell your wife and children.
Please have patience with me.
No, I need it. There's no options.
I'm working as hard as I can, and I'm doing the best I can. I'll just have patience with me.
I need $15. There's a lot of things I gotta pay right now. I need it.
Well, here I am.
Okay, well, I'm just gonna have to sell your wife and children. In jail, so.
And actually, he took a hold of him by the throat yet. Pay me that thou owest. Now, it says he took him by the throat. Then, on the heels of that, he, after being forgiven this $9.25 million, he literally turns around, and this is the story, okay? The story is that the king, or Jesus, forgave him all the sins. That's you and I, right? All those ugly, dark, those horrible sins that we've all committed. Every one of those that damned us to hell. Everyone, $9.25 million is just forgiven. And then he has the audacity to turn around and this $15... $15 compared to $9.25 million. He takes him by the throat yet. See, the king didn't even take him by the throat. But he takes this guy that just owns him $15, takes him by the throat and says, pay now. And he wouldn't have mercy on him. He just held him to it. And he literally went and cast him into jail. Wife and children, cast him in jail. Till he pays everything. And then the king, when he heard, like, unbelievable. And the king looked at the servant and he said, I forgave you $9.25 million and you wouldn't even forgive 15 bucks? And he turned around and he cast him into jail, and all the old sins, it says all the old sins came back. That $9.25 million that was forgiven, that all came back. See, Scripture says that those sins are washed away as far as the east is from the west. But when we don't forgive, that bitterness, those things that settle down upon us, those old sins are literally coming back. Those are coming back on his behalf again, that $9.25 million. It's all come back. Even though it's washed away, far as the east is from the west, somehow God can bring those back. That's what Scripture says. Those all came back because he literally didn't forgive the $15. Isn't that an awesome thing? Okay. So here's this diddly little thing that our brother did. Maybe purposefully. Maybe some immoral sin that we were violated against. It's horrible. Maybe it's just something that my brother or sister isn't even aware of. You know what I mean? Maybe something we're not even aware of, or they're not even aware of. But we just, we sort of hold them. They ought to know better than that. we say, come on, And we hold them to that. We don't let them go. Literally, we don't. Isn't that how it is? I've done that. Where we've just, you've got to straighten out. I won't let you go till you straighten out. We do that. We do that to our brothers. We do that to family members in our hearts. We probably wouldn't literally take our brother like this, okay? But that's what the story says. And that's literally how we hold him. In our hearts, we hold him by the throat. Many times we hold him by the throat. And in our hearts we say, if he'd only forgive me, or if he'd only come and say sorry, I'd forgive him then. Right? All right, you can go sit down. No, thank you. Well, forgiveness has to be totally unconditional. Forgiveness is something that we come and we make a decision to just simply let go. The king, that $9.25 million, refers to us and all the sins that we've committed. You and I, you go back to all the sins that we've committed over the years. All the horrible things that we've done, all the imaginations of the heart and the things we've done that have made this big gap between us and God. And we knelt down and we said, God, we're lost. Would you please forgive me? And we came to God like that. And God just said, yeah, I'll forgive you. And those sins are all wiped away. They're all washed away. And then we turn around, and when our brother or sister does something, and you know what they are, right? You know what they are. They come up time and time again. Sometimes they're done by intent. Other times, actually a higher percentage of the times, they're not even done by intent. They're just things that happen, and our expectations weren't met. And so we take them by the throat and we say, you pay me what thou owest. You change the way you do things, whatever it is. You know what it is. And we hold people by the throat. Let me encourage us. It's the will of God that we unconditionally, whether that person comes and asks us or not, either way, God wants to unconditionally let go of those offenses that we've been offended by. We let go. We forgive. Forgiveness is letting go, putting it away, as if it hadn't happened. Ephesians 1, verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. That's Jesus. We have redemption through the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So it's the heart and will of God that we have the riches of his grace in our hearts also to extend that to others. It was according to the riches of Christ Jesus that he forgave us. Now we have that same grace in our hearts, the Holy Ghost. I'd like to think I'm full of the Holy Ghost, wouldn't you? Okay? If we're full of the Holy Ghost, that's the power of Christ in us that we can in the same way extend that to others and release others, forgive others of the things that they have done to us. Whether purposefully or whether ignorantly, we let them go, we release. We have that grace within our hearts that we can do that. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, do you realize what that says? When we pray the Lord's Prayer, forgive, Lord, would you please forgive me the way I forgive my son Brandon? Okay? Now, who's the person that you're struggling with? Maybe you're struggling with what your wife did. Lord, please forgive me the way I forgive my wife. Lord, please forgive me the way I forgive my brother. Lord, you know, that guy at work, Lord, please forgive me the way I forgive him. You get the point? We think a couple times, we say, have I let him go? Because I want God to forgive me. I'd like to give you an example of forgiveness. I'd like to give you a little example of a man who forgave in a very amazing way. This man, he grew up as a young boy, and he had many brothers. And he spent a lot of time with his brothers out in the fields, taking care of the sheep and taking care of many things. And his brothers were jealous of him because he had some dreams. And his brothers kept eyeing him. And his brothers were out. They had taken the sheep out some, ways off. I'm not sure, was it 30 miles, 20, 30 miles off? They were out there feeding the sheep. And this young man, his dad sent him and he said, go see how your brothers are doing. And they came out there, and when he came to their brothers, guess what his brothers did? They looked at him and said, this is our opportunity to just wipe him away. This is our opportunity to kill him. And they actually talked about killing their younger brother. Okay? Now, we're talking about forgiveness. Keep this in mind as we go through this story. Here's this young man. His brothers were contemplating killing him, and he hears this. And there's one that said, oh, let's save him, let's put him down in the pit. So he's putting down in the pit, and here come some, camel train, and some of the brothers said, hey, rather than killing him, let's go and sell him. And they sold him to this camel train as a slave. And then they went back, and they took his clothes back to his father and said an animal killed him, and they lied about him. Now just consider the feelings and emotions that this young man, Joseph, went through. There he goes as a slave. And he knows, you know, he's a young man and he's powerless. He's in the hands of evil men. He's in the hands of slave traders. And he realizes, I'm powerless. I will probably never see my brothers again. I'm powerless and I'll probably never see my dad again. There he goes, day after day, walking or on a camel, I'm not sure which, on the way to Egypt. And there they go. And down there they get to the place where they sell these slaves. And there comes a rich man and he's looking for a servant to take care of his house. And can you just imagine the fear, the anxiety that this young man went through as he realized that there he is dishing out money. I'm going to be a slave and I'm going to have to work for him for the rest of my life. Can you just imagine the anger that he had toward his brothers or the feelings? I don't know, did he get angry? It doesn't say. But can you imagine the feelings and all the things that were going on in his heart as he thought back of his father and he longed to be there? And the emotions that he went through as he realized his own brothers had sold him. He'll probably never ever see him again. I'm just a nobody. But in the middle of it all, he cried out to God. There he was. And it's very obvious that he made some very clear decisions, said, I am going to serve God. And he had obviously been taught what's right and wrong. And he made these choices to serve God and to be an upright man. And there he was. And he went home. With this rich man, Potiphar, he went home. And day after day, he was told, these are the things that you have responsibility for. And not only did he go and just pull the weeds and take care of all the difficult things, he made decisions in his heart that he's going to go above and beyond what's expected of him. Even though he looked back at his brothers and didn't know if he's ever going to see his dad anymore, and all the things he was going through, he made a choice and he said, I'm going to serve God and I'm going to give everything I have to be a good servant. I'm going to give it the best I have. And Potiphar came to the place where he entrusted his whole property into this man Joseph's hand. Imagine with me, that didn't happen the first day. It didn't happen after 3 months, I'm sure. But there was a proving time here to where Joseph, even in the middle of all these things that his brothers had done, he made a choice to forgive. He made a choice to release, to let go. And he was a faithful man in that house. And the day came when everything that this man Potiphar had, he gave it all into his hands. And everything was in Joseph's hands with exception of his wife. And Joseph was upright. He took care of the gardens. He took care of the house. He oversaw everything. And I'm sure that many times, every day, I'm sure he would think back of his father. He'd think back of his brothers. But this man, Joseph, made a decision to let go. In the middle of all those emotions and feelings, and this was deliberate. This wasn't just one of these things where we don't know if it was deliberate or not. This was a deliberate violation against Joseph. And he knew it. But he made a choice to let go. So there he was. And you know the story, how the story progressed and how Potiphar's wife came after him. And how she wanted him. And how Joseph was faithful. In all those things, Joseph was a faithful man. And then she turned around In all of Joseph's trying to be an upright, godly man and faithful in all his house, this Potiphar's wife went to Potiphar and said, "This man tried to come and sleep with me, and look, here's his garment yet." And then he ends up in prison because he was being an upright man. Can you just imagine with me? It seemed like things were going better for him. He was moving forward in life. And then there he is, and he sits in jail. Day after day, he sits in jail, and he thinks back of his brothers. He thinks back of what Potiphar's wife did, and what he, you know, all the things that he was wrongly judged. And Joseph could be an extremely bitter man. He could be a very angry man. But there he was. I don't know how many years that he was in that prison. But it was obviously for quite a few years that Joseph sat in that prison, wrongly judged, wrongly violated, specifically against his person for his uprightness. There he was. Joseph had all the reasons in the world to be a bitter, angry man, if you may say it that way, right? He had all the reasons in the world to be a bitter, angry man. But in the middle of all that, he chose to forgive his brothers for what they had done. He specifically chose to forgive his brothers. I'd like for you to turn with me into the book of Genesis, chapter 50. We're going to start reading. In verse 17, and this is the context. Time went on, and the context at this point is Pharaoh had come. He had brought him out of jail or prison. He had put a crown on his head. He had made him second highest ruler. He was given the responsibility to bring all the crops in. And his brothers had come down. His dad had come down. There was a reuniting. That's the context. And in the heels of that, some years pass on by, and his father dies. And when his father died, his brothers all of a sudden were filled with anxiety. And they realize, we're at the hands of our younger brother. He's this ruler, and we violated him. We send him off as a prisoner, as a slave. We send him off, and now that our dad passed away, now look what he's going to do to us. And that's the context that we're going to start reading here. We're going to start reading in verse 17. Actually, verse 16. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive. Forgive the trespass of thy servants, of the servants of God and of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. See, earlier on when they had reunited, they had asked for forgiveness. But now their father passed away, now they're still afraid. Joseph is still going to get revenge. You understand? If Joseph would have been wouldn't have totally forgiven his brothers, there would have been revenge in his heart that when his father passed away, he would have said, okay, now I'm going to do to my brothers how they really... I'm going to deal with them. That revenge. So shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants, of God and of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save such people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. That's the response of a man who was treated horribly by his brothers. He was treated horribly by the slave's owners. In prison, he sat there for years, and all the things that, all the revenge and all those kind of things that could have been there, Joseph had made a decision to totally forgive. Now I'd like to just ask the question, should we not forgive each other for these little petty things that we face? This 15 bucks. You know, this 15 bucks. You know, we've been forgiven $9.25 million. These 15 bucks. Can't we just forgive our brother? You just let him go. Shouldn't we do that? I'd want to do that. Shouldn't we all? Let's think about that. Let's be a man like Joseph. Lord bless you.